talk to give all of all of them. And that's the one right after a nice big meal. And everybody wants to stretch out and relax. Get comfortable. But he's got a good topic. His topic is the 1,000 years. And, of course, that's of great interest to all of us. It's certainly paramount on my mind, as I'm sure it is on all of y'all's. He's selected song number 152 to start, which is a very appropriate song. 152.
And also the kindred spirit that we have here. Dear Heavenly Father, we like Thee for to open our hearts and our minds for the next coming segment of convention. Please give Brother George your Holy Spirit and pour also your spirit upon our hearts and minds, so we might have a hearing ear and a hearing heart to to know that what the Spirit says. In Jesus Christ, the Spirit's name, amen.
Amen. Brother George Wilmot, 1,000 years.
For the benefit of those not present yesterday, we bring you much Christian love from brethren in different countries, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Moldova, Ukraine, Romania, France, and the week before, Sister Debbie and Brother Jim are here to bring love from Colorado and Wyoming friends, and then last weekend at Huntsville, Alabama, and the friends sent their love. And then Thursday, Sister Hip and Sister Nellie Bernard over at Lake Charles. So let us remember these brethren, especially the ones in special need, that the Lord would give them sufficient grace and strength. Sister Hip is in her 90s and a wonderful example, and very determined to do the Lord's will, loves the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. And there are just many brethren that we have met on the recent trip who need the prayers of the brethren. And we don't pray that they would be healed, but that they would have sufficient grace for their experiences. As an under-shepherd of the Heavenly Father, we have a real responsibility this afternoon, and we're here because we want to serve the Heavenly Father and His sheep with more and more understanding of the present truth. Now, we find that illustrations are important, and I hope that you received a pen and a sheet of paper. And, you know, all of you can draw a straight line. I drew a straight line with the aid of the yardstick. But draw a straight line, and just like you see here. And at one end of the line, I want you to put 1874, and at the other end, I want you to put 2874. Now, the basis for this is 2 Peter 3:8. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, actually, this is the last 1,000-year period of God's rest day. You know, the chart of the ages from that portion called Paradise Lost until Paradise Restored is a period of 7,000 years. And this is referred to in the Scriptures as being the day that God rested. Well, God does not get tired, but God rested from His earthly creation that it might be completed by His dear Son. And we would note that during the Gospel Age, when the new creation is being selected, that this is God's creation, but this is a heavenly creation. The new creation is a heavenly creation, and this is God's creation. But God rested from His earthly creation, from paradise lost until paradise is restored. And in less than 1,000 years' time, God's rest day will have come to an end. And then it is, that would be 2874, when the kingdom is turned back to the Father so that He may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:24 through 28. So I hope we're satisfied thus far that God's rest day from His earthly creation is 7,000 years. And this 1,000-year period from 1874 to 2874 is the last part of that 7,000 years. Now, we have the scriptural basis for this, that this is the day of the Lord. Okay, now I want you to take and draw a line to divide this line into two parts. But we're going to make the first part much shorter than the second part. So we have two parts of the millennial age. Let's call it part one and part two of the millennial age. Now, this thousand-year period of time, I'm not going to take the time to write it here, but I want you to write different expressions for this. And remember, this would be from 1874 to 2874. And this day of the Lord is also called the kingdom age. So on your paper, to note this length of both parts, just write kingdom. Okay, now let's note that the scriptures speak about two parts of this thousand-year kingdom. Part one deals with the establishment of the spiritual phase of the kingdom. And part two deals with the establishment of the earthly phase of the kingdom. Now, we have these two parts shown on the chart. From 7 to 10 is part 1, and from 10 to 11 is part 2. But we're just breaking it down this way because I think it will be understandable that there are two parts of the kingdom. And it's absolutely necessary to understand these two parts if we're to understand the truth. Now, we have a scripture in Revelation 21:2 that John saw the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. All right, this New Jerusalem would refer to the spiritual phase of the kingdom. Now, about this point on your chart, I want you to draw a perfect pyramid. And that will represent Christ's return in 1874. The kingdom, as represented in our Lord, began to be set up when our Lord returned. Now, at the first advent, our Lord went away as a king. He was crucified as a king. He was resurrected as a king. And he ascended to the Father to receive the kingdom. At the time of his resurrection, he received all power in heaven and in earth. He had the power then, at the time of his resurrection, to establish this kingdom with the two parts. The heavenly part, see, all power in heaven, and all power in earth. He had the power to establish this kingdom. But it was not time at the first advent to establish the kingdom, because the heavenly Father has planned for a new creation, and this new creation is heavenly. And it's this heavenly phase of the kingdom that is first established. So we go back to Revelation 21:2, and there the revelator saw the new Jerusalem, the spiritual phase of the kingdom, coming down from God out of heaven. Now, in 1874, it was time for the heavenly Father to send his dear Son to earth the second time. You know, at the first advent, he sent his Son to die for Adam and his race, to give the ransom. But at the second advent, the Heavenly Father sent his dear Son to accomplish the restitution of all things. The heaven received our Lord until it was time for the restitution age to begin. And as time permits, we'll discuss more about that later. But here we're emphasizing the two parts of the kingdom, heavenly and earthly. So our Lord received the kingdom and had to wait until the time for the second advent before he would return with that kingdom. And so the kingdom as represented in our return Lord, the spiritual phase, was set up in 1874. And a perfect pyramid represents perfection. And then in 1878, according to the parallels, our Lord was resurrected 3.5 years after his consecration. And so 3.5 years after our Lord's second advent, namely 1878, Paul tells us that the dead in Christ would be resurrected, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. I hope you put down these scripture citations, and also 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. And so there, the kingdom, the spiritual phase, became a little larger. It had ascended closer and closer to earth. You see, first it was represented in our return Lord, and then let's draw the pyramid just a little larger to represent the resurrection of the sleeping saints. Now we know that Stephen, the first Christian saint recorded after the death of our Lord, fell asleep. Well, why wasn't Stephen resurrected when he died? Well, it was because it was not time for the kingdom, you see. There was no work for Stephen to do. And he, along with all the apostles and the other saints down through the age, had to wait until there was work to do. And so we read in Revelation 14:13 that from henceforth, from 1878, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And so now there was time for work to begin. It was time for the kingdom, you see. This is the kingdom age. You put down kingdom here representing this 1,000-year period of time. And now there's much work being done on the other side of the veil. And it's without laborious efforts. But on this side, the kingdom work is with laborious efforts. Nevertheless, it's kingdom work. It's important work. Now, where is our returned Lord? Where are the resurrected saints? Well, the scriptures answer that they're in earth's atmosphere. And as one by one the saints die, they're caught up to be with our Lord in the air, in earth's atmosphere. You know, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the god of the second dispensation, and by usurpation. And so Satan has been the ruler by permission of the second evil world. God has permitted evil to go so far and no further. But now it has come time for our Lord to return, and he returned in 1874 and entered into the strong man's house, into earth's atmosphere. Now this earth's atmosphere is also the prison for the fallen angels. The fallen angels at the time of the flood were not permitted to go back to heaven, neither were they permitted any longer to materialize as they had done before the flood. So they were locked up in prison. In Jude verse 6, and be sure to write this scripture down, Jude 6, the angels who kept not their first estate were restrained in chains of darkness until the day of judgment. And as time permits, we'll go into that a little further about the day of judgment. But right now, we want to emphasize the fact that our Lord and the resurrected saints are in earth's atmosphere. Our guardian angels, you see, are also in earth's atmosphere. And they are especially kept busy in this evil day, because in this evil day, the demons are causing much trouble in the earth. And not only the demons, but the adversary is struggling to hold on to his usurped position. Now, someone might say, why wasn't Satan fully bound at the time our Lord returned? He had all power in heaven and in earth. He could have fully bound the adversary in 1874. But the Father's plan calls for this to be a gradual binding throughout part one of the millennial age. Even though our Lord had the power to fully bind him immediately, there were other features of God's plan to be carried out. And one feature was that it was the Father's plan for the feet members of the body of Christ, still here in the flesh, to announce thy God reigneth, to announce this kingdom age begun. And that kingdom age began in 1874 when our Lord returned with the kingdom. So these feet members, and we're the feet members, have a work to do, kingdom work, of proclaiming the reign of Christ begun. And at the same time, the old order is passing away, making room, you see, for the establishment of the earthly phase in part two. Well, since 1874, it's not necessary for the saints to sleep. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 54, the Apostle Paul uses some different Greek words and slightly different in meaning. You know, he says this corruptible must put on incorruption. Well, that's a slightly different Greek word from this mortal must put on immortality. And it denotes the time element. All of the saints down through the gospel age who had fallen asleep were under the power of corruption. But when they were resurrected, they were given incorruptible bodies. Are we following this? You see the distinction between these Greek words. And since 1878, we are mortal. You see, we haven't yet received immortality. But this mortal must die. I have said ye are gods, all of you children of the Most High, and yet ye shall die like other men and fall like one of the princes. And if we're more than an overcomer, we'll fall like in death, like Prince Jesus. And so we must die. This mortal, you see, must die. But we don't have to sleep even for a moment. Isn't that a marvelous hope? Immediately given, this mortal must put on immortality. So you see the distinction. Paul, there was a reason why that we have incorruption and immortality because of this time element involved. So since 1878, this spiritual phase of the kingdom continues to grow. And I think we're now at the point that the bride will soon have made herself ready. And when the bride has made herself ready, then there will be a marriage that was talked about this morning. And that's going to be a marriage such as the earth has never known. The Christ, our Lord, will take the body members and the Christ complete, our Lord in the 144,000, and he will take them, take us from earth's atmosphere to heaven, into the presence of the great judge of the universe. And there, the great judge will unite the bride and the bridegroom. And that will be a marriage such as earth has never known. And there are going to be witnesses to this marriage. And that will be an innumerable company of angels that Paul speaks about in Hebrews 12. And he mentions about the general assembly and church of the firstborn. But at that marriage, the great company, the foolish virgins, will not be there. But they will announce that the bride has made herself ready and the marriage of the Lamb has come. And then the great company alive at that time will die and after washing their robes. And they, along with all of this great company down through the gospel age, will be resurrected as perfect spirit beings and will be called to this marriage supper. And so after the marriage and then the marriage supper, the Christ will return to earth's atmosphere to establish, well, first of all, to stop the trouble, and then to establish the earthly phase of the kingdom. But now before that, the earthly phase of the kingdom is established, let us draw the pyramid a little closer. The great company will be a part of that spiritual phase of the kingdom. But there's still more of it than just the great company. And we'll get into this later about, know ye not that the saints shall judge angels? Well, Paul in Colossians 1:20 mentions about the reconciliation of things in heaven and things in earth. Well, what things in heaven need to be reconciled? Well, it's those fallen angels who have repented who will be reconciled and become a part of this spiritual phase of the kingdom. So that will be just, this reconciliation of the repentant fallen angels will occur just at the time that the great time of trouble is stopped. And thus, the spiritual phase of the kingdom will have been fully set up. Now remember, this is the work of part one of the millennial age. Now after the trouble is stopped, let us turn to Revelation chapter 21. And I would like to read concerning the tabernacle of God. I want to read it. I want to make sure that we have it just exactly right. This is Revelation 21 and verse 3. You know, after the New Jerusalem has been set up, after the spiritual phase of the kingdom is fully set up, verse 2, then we have verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be there, be with them, and be their God. Now, there at the time that the trouble is stopped, part two will begin. The earthly phase of God's kingdom will begin to be set up. And now this is called a tabernacle. You know, a tabernacle is a temporary arrangement. And, the mediatorial phase of the kingdom will not last forever. No, at the end of the millennial age, the kingdom will have been fully set up, and there will be no need of this tabernacle, this temporary condition. And then it is that when the kingdom is fully set up at the end of the 1,000 years, the kingdom will be turned back to God so that he may be all in all. So now let's draw the beginning of this earthly phase of the kingdom. Of course, it will begin here at this line, part two. And let's note that this, just draw a line down at the bottom of your page. And this will represent the time when the earthly phase begins its operation. So now, you know, this is an earthly part of the kingdom. The heavenly comes down from God out of heaven. But the earthly phase, you see, will gradually grow and develop. Now, first of all, this earthly phase of the kingdom will begin with the resurrection of the ancient worthies. Over in Romania, they call it the prophets. So either term is correct. The ancient worthies are those men and women who lived in ancient times, and many of them were the prophets of the Old Testament. But this class consisted of men and women. You know, sometimes we don't emphasize the importance of the women as being a part of the ancient worthy class. How many women can you think of that will be of this class? Well, you probably think of Sarah, but you know, I like to think of Mrs. Noah. We don't know how her name is, so we'll call her Mrs. Noah. But I think she'll be one of the ancient worthy class, you know. And men and women will who had faith prior to the gospel age will be resurrected as perfect human beings and will become a part of that earthly phase of the kingdom. And, of course, you know, the new covenant will have been sealed with the precious blood of Jesus. Just at the end of part one, beginning of part two, the new covenant will be sealed with the precious blood of Jesus. And at lunch we were talking about, you know, Jesus died and paid it all. But actually the ransom price has not yet been officially paid over to justice. At the beginning of part two, or the end of part one and beginning of part two, the ransom price is going to be paid over officially to justice, and then Adam and his race will be turned over to the Christ. And the Christ will adopt Adam's children. And you know, the Christ will give these adopted children a lot of love and a lot of attention. And they're going to see that all of them learn the truth. And they're going to see to it that righteousness will prevail. One of their adopted children will not be allowed to hurt another of their adopted children, because that's not God's will, you see. Nothing will hurt nor destroy. And so after these ancient worthies are resurrected as perfect men and women and made princes in the earth, this new covenant, you know, it's God's new covenant that he gives to Christ, and Christ will give it to the ancient worthies, and the ancient worthies will give it to Israel, and Israel will give it to the Gentiles. And thus this kingdom, you see, will grow and grow until it fills the whole earth. Now, we've given this scripture in Revelation 21:3 about this tabernacle of God is with men. You see, the Christ will be the representative of the Heavenly Father, or, you know, we use the expression the mediator of the new covenant. And there are different terms that we could use here describing this period of time. But this new covenant will start with Israel. You see, not with all in Israel at the present time, but with those in Israel with faith. They'll have to have faith before they're ready for this new covenant. And many Gentiles will quickly become a part of this kingdom. So let's make the kingdom grow a little more. And in Isaiah 35:8, we read that, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Well, now this seemingly contradicts itself unless you understand what the prophet Isaiah is telling. He says the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. Well, what it means is they'll not pass completely over it, gaining perfect human life, until they have cleaned up from sin, and then they'll pass completely over it. But being unclean, they wouldn't pass over it, they wouldn't gain life, they'd be one of the goats, and they would be destroyed from among the people. And along this line of reasoning, let us realize that it is the Christ, the better mediator, that prophet of Acts 3:23, that will destroy the goats. The goats will be destroyed throughout this earthly phase of the kingdom, throughout part two. If one refuses to obey that prophet, the Christ, then they'll just be cut off from amongst the people. And by the way, you know, at the beginning of part two, and this should be of interest to each one, and I think that we should emphasize this in our witnessing to others, the time will come when there won't be any more funeral services. At the beginning of part two, there will be no more funeral services. Won't that be wonderful? Now, at the present time, 150,000 and more people die every day. And when I was over in Romania, I asked the brethren, how many people live in Cluj, Romania? And they said 300,000. And then they said, well, maybe more than that. But 300,000 will fit the illustration. Because this would mean that if all the people in the world were gathered together and lived in Cluj, every 2 days, Cluj would be destroyed with death. Does that bring it home a little more, you know, a city, 300,000 every 2 days, day after day? Well, that's what's happening throughout the world. And so, you see, this is going to be a gradual work. No more funeral services, though, when part two begins. Now, there will be the goats who go into the second death. But let us please remember that there will be no sympathy for the goats because they will have much love from the Christ. They will have much assistance, much knowledge of the truth. They'll come to an accurate knowledge of the truth. And then if they refuse to obey that prophet, they'll just be cut off as goats, you see. And no one will lament for those. And this is illustrated with the two sons of Aaron that were cut off. Aaron and the other sons were not allowed to lament for those who died because of their disobedience. So no one, you see, will have a funeral service for those who go into the second death. Now, just recently, there was a sister that was having a difficult time understanding about Judas. You know, we must have love because God is love. But we also must realize that we have to follow the instructions of our Lord. And when he said that it had been better had Judas had never been born, then we must realize that Judas just will... Judas went out of existence when he died. Because before we were born, we were out of existence, you see. And so Judas sinned against the Holy Spirit, and therefore he just went out of existence. And we should have no sympathy for Judas or anyone who has sentenced to the second death. Because to have sympathy would mean that you're in harmony with sin. You see, when the sin cannot be separated from the sinner, then love lets go. Well, let's go back to this highway. You know, it's going to, this kingdom is going to grow and grow until it fills the whole earth. And this is going to be a gradual work. You know, the first ones after Israel with faith to be blessed by this earthly phase of the kingdom will be those that we call alive but dead from God's standpoint. Now over 6 billion of them. And increasing daily, even in spite of all the ones who die, the population explosion is a concern to many of the people. And so these with faith of the Gentiles will want to send for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the princes to extend the government to their part of the world, if they have the faith to do so. They'll hear that Israel is being blessed. And so they'll want that government extended to them, and the kingdom will grow and grow. And then in the process of time, those who have died will hear the voice of Jesus and come forth. You know, won't that be wonderful if we're one of the body members of Christ to be associated with him as he brings forth these billions of people from the sleep of death? And that's going to be the privilege of the Christ. And so... But the goats, you see, the ones who, after coming to the knowledge of the truth, refuse to obey, they'll just be cut off. And this kingdom will grow and grow until, at the end of the 1,000 years, the kingdom will have been fully set up. And then the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," will be fully answered. You know, many are expecting peace and life at the first part of the kingdom, but it's not until the end of this kingdom age that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you notice how that if I had drawn this to scale, you put this spiritual phase of the kingdom on top, and And so you have the kingdom complete. And that's the way it's shown here on the chart, you see. But in reality, it's the two parts, you see, of the kingdom. First, the spiritual face is set up, and then the earthly face. Now, let's go back to review a little bit, and let's call this also, this thousand-year period of time is called the resurrection age. You know, it's the kingdom age, but it's also the resurrection age. Now, let's review who is resurrected in part one. Well, the first resurrection, the chief resurrection, the resurrection of the little flock, is in part one. Our Lord and Head, of course, was resurrected in 33 A.D. But the body members are resurrected perfect, divine spirit beings, instantaneously. The dead in Christ were raised instantaneously, divine spirit beings. And now, one by one, we don't have to sleep, but immediately, this work, you see, is important. It takes 1,000 years to set up this kingdom. And so there's much work to do, and that's why that there's no delay. Immediately, the kingdom work on this side of the veil continues on the other side. And by the way, I want to emphasize that all the body members are important. And one member has one part, another member has another part. But let's do kingdom work. Let's tell others about the kingdom. Because there are so many of the groaning creation out there that are groping in darkness, and they're searching for something. And this is why that the internet can be a blessing. It can also be abused. But the internet can be a blessing because people go to the internet for information. And so we encourage the brethren to be as active as possible in promoting this kingdom message. We're privileged to, when we have the advertising on Yahoo and Google, to get 500 or 600 responses a month for the Divine Plan of the Ages. And if we advertise more, we'd get a lot more response because, you know, when our money is gone, then our ad goes off. And so there's so much work that we can do at the present time. And this is kingdom work. And at the same time, it may be that one of these may be being dealt with by the Heavenly Father. A repentant sinner is drawn to Jesus by the Father, and then if he accepts Jesus and consecrates to righteous living, it may be that the Father will invite him to become a member of the divine family. But more about that perhaps tomorrow. One here and one there still being invited, but this work is coming to a close. The door is slowly closing. It hasn't closed yet. But it won't be long, we believe, from many, many signs that the little flock will have made her separate. But meanwhile, we're here for a purpose. Why are we here? Well, to do kingdom work with laborious efforts. It takes an effort, you see, to do kingdom work, but I always like to add with joy. Do we really enjoy telling the truth to others, or do we want to hide the truth under a bushel? You see, we have to be willing to share the truth with the meek. And we don't force it upon anyone. One has to be meek and teachable before that they're ready for the truth. But one who is meek and teachable will be willing to listen. And this is one of my privileges of going to some of the countries in Europe. I find that sometimes brethren have a different viewpoint, but then when they see the truth, they rejoice that they see. And so that should be our attitude, too, that we'll continually be learning. Now we know in part, and if we're meek and teachable, we'll continue to learn. And that's the way it will be in the earthly phase of the kingdom. The meek will continue to learn. Well, now back to the resurrection age. We call this the resurrection age, and the little flock is first resurrected with the two parts, the dead in Christ and then one by one, the feet members. And next will come the resurrection of the great company. That's also a part of part one. And they will be resurrected as perfect spirit beings. And just at the end of part one and the beginning of part two will come the resurrection of the ancient worthies. And they will be resurrected as perfect human beings and will begin the earthly phase of the kingdom. Then in part two, the world's resurrection will not be instantaneous, but it will be gradual. You see, a gradual reaching, this restanding with God. And all the willing and obedient will have been lifted up to human perfection. And then at the end of this kingdom age, this resurrection age, the sheep will be turned over to the Father for a final testing. Okay, now let's, we've already referred to this thousand-year period as also the Day of Judgment. So in part one of the thousand-year period, Paul says in writing to the Corinthians, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge angels?" You remember that. Okay, and then for part two, he says, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world?" Here he's speaking about the individuals of the world. And so we're in the judgment day. Those angels who kept not their first estate at the time of the flood were restrained in chains of darkness until the judgment day. You see, we're in the judgment day since 1874. The fallen angels are being judged. But now, in order to be judged, they have to be granted liberty. But the Heavenly Father, in His wisdom, doesn't permit them to have full liberty immediately. They are gradually given more and more liberty. And by the time that the little flock is complete, there will be no restraint upon the fallen angels. And then that's going to create total anarchy in the earth. And if those days were not cut short, you see, while the marriage and the marriage supper is in progress, the world will be in total anarchy. And it couldn't last too long. Those days will be, the Christ will return to Earth's atmosphere and wind up affairs. The final verdict will be rendered upon the fallen angels. You see, now evidence is being gathered by the saints beyond the veil who can read the heart condition. And when they have full liberty, when the fallen angels have full liberty, they will manifest either evil or good. And the repentant fallen angels, as we've already mentioned, will be reconciled and become a part of the spiritual phase of the kingdom. But the demons will be destroyed. Now, there's no point in the demons being restrained or bound. No scripture says that they'll be bound, like Satan will be bound for a purpose. The reason why he is bound is to test mankind in the little season. But the demons, after their judgment, will be destroyed. And they'll just go out of existence. Day of judgment for the world, the individuals of the world, will then begin with part two, and this will progress until the sheep have been separated from the goats. And by the way, our Lord gave a millennial age parable. I believe, if I'm correct, that it's the only millennial age parable he gave, the parable of the sheep and the goats. And this millennial age parable of the sheep and the goats is divided into two parts. You know, a lot will read that parable and they say it begins at the beginning of the millennial age, but not so. The part that begins with part one is the return of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and then all of the holy angels or messengers with Him, you see the resurrection of the church, as we've already been considering, and when they're all together, then they'll be on the throne of glory, represented on plain cave. The glory of office, you see, it'll be time shortly after they're all complete for this mediatorial phase of the kingdom to begin. And with the beginning of the mediatorial phase of the kingdom, then the next verse in Matthew 25, verse 32, if I recall correctly, will begin the work of separating the sheep and the goats. And after a reasonable amount of time, the goats will be destroyed, cut off, Acts 3:23, by that prophet, the better mediator. And this work will progress until, no doubt, there will be some who will feign obedience for a time, but outwardly, their heart is wrong. But before this mediatorial reign ends, there will be something to happen that will cause the goats to outwardly manifest what is in their heart. Because, it's necessary for them to do that. Else their neighbors would want to know, well, why did they go into the second death? They hadn't seen them do anything wrong. But you see, the goats will outwardly manifest that they're not in heart harmony with the kingdom arrangement. So the goats will be destroyed, and then the sheep, at the end of this thousand-year kingdom, will be turned over to the Father as perfect human being. And then it is that the adversary will be let loose and will test them. Now, by the way, know you not that the saints shall judge the world? That's the mediatorial phase. But the judges are out of work at the end of the 1,000 years. Their work has been accomplished. Their judging is over. But this judgment of the little season is by the Heavenly Father, the great judge of the universe. You see the difference between the judgment of the Heavenly Father and the saints. The saints will be out of work, but not really. Because, you know, for all eternity, there will be a work for them to do. But as far as the reconciliation of things in heaven and things in earth, their work will have been accomplished. And by the way, this is another term for this 1,000-year period, the reconciliation age. You see, first things in heaven, and then things in earth. Okay, we've got 10 minutes. I don't want to run over time, and I apologize that we went over time 6 minutes last night, because I like to stay on time. But anyway, you know, this is a subject that could go on and on. So next, let's consider about the restitution age. This is also called the restitution age. Well, why do we call it the restitution age? Well, I think all of us can quote probably from memory Acts 3:19-21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now this word presence is prosopon, it's not parousia, and it has the thought out from the face or favor of Jehovah. And he, Jehovah, shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. But notice that times of refreshing began when Jehovah's face began to be turned toward the world of mankind. And how did he do this? By the sending of Jesus Christ the second time. The first time he sent him to give himself a ransom, and the second time to accomplish restitution. Well, it's interesting to note that from Adam's disobedience until 1874 was a period of 6,000 years. And then 6,000 years later, times of refreshing began. Now, they had a slight beginning 75 years earlier. And what happened 75 years earlier? Well, that was the time that the time of the end began, when knowledge would increase and many would run to and fro. And I think I was mentioning yesterday to some, maybe to all, I'm not sure. But it was interesting that on the trip I was at some of the brethren who live not too far from Paris, France. And, well, I was told on a previous trip that Napoleon had his horse stable there near their locality. And, you know, when I was reading history in school, the French Revolution seemed so far in the past. But, you know, when you bring it down in reality, I was born just a little over 100 years after the French Revolution. And you know, that brings it down more to our day, doesn't it? Well, that was when it began to get light, in 1799. And that beautifully describes the time that we're living. If I may use this hymn book to represent the Sun of Righteousness. Now, some of you will be able to see the sun coming up before others. But in 1799, it began to get light. You know, each morning before the sun comes up, it gets light. So it began to get light, but in 1874, the sun began to rise, and that's just what we have shown here on the chart. And then this sun shines from the east, Zechariah 14:6-7. It shines from the east even unto the west. And at evening time, at the close of the kingdom age, it will be completely light or completely perfect. So here we have refreshing blessings beginning in 1874. How many of you lived at a time before you had the electric light bulb? Hold up your hand if you lived before you had the electric light bulb. Well, just Brother Freeman and myself, all the rest of you have always had the electric light bulb. Well,
Brother O'Neill, we have one at the house.
Okay. Well, you know, the electric light bulb came in around 1874, 1878. And it turned night into day. Now, you know, people work day and night, and they either travel day and night because of the electric light. And so you see, the sun began to come up in 1874. Well, that resulted in refreshing blessing. Now, also, something else. I can remember when we lived on the farm, no electricity, that meant no refrigeration.
And my dad would go to town maybe once or twice a week and get a block of ice in the summertime, and we'd rack it up, and it would soon melt. But that was our refrigeration, you see. And think of, now we take all of these blessings for granted, don't we? And the air-conditioned home. What would we have done this weekend without air conditioning? Well, you know, we can get by without it because I think Brother Freeman went to Siloam Convention, didn't he? And, you went to Siloam Convention too. And, you know, it was 113 degrees there one year in the shade. And yet we had conventions, you see. It was out under an arbor. And later they moved into the little schoolhouse with a water cooler. But you see, they had electricity out of the water cooler. So, a lot of refreshing blessings. Well, does that illustrate the point that since 1874, restitution blessings have begun? And at the same time, the old order has to be removed to make room for the new. Well, now when the earthly phase begins its operation, it's going to be a lot better, and it'll continue to get better until evening time. It will be light. Well, in summing up then, let us note that this is called the Day of the Lord. It's called the Day of Judgment. It's the Kingdom Age. It's the Millennial Age. It's the Messianic Age. The Reconciliation Age. You know, all describing this thousand-year period of time. So I hope that you put down a lot of the scriptures for each part. We didn't name all of the scriptures, of course. But just remember that it takes 1,000 years to build that pyramid with the two parts. And may the Heavenly Father add His blessing.
Well, thank you, Brother George. Very enlightening. And lively. You get pretty animated there sometimes as we're going along, and we really appreciate that because it helps keep us awake. But it's good information, and very much enjoyed it. Brother George has selected Psalm 278 to close with.
Thank you.
gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we wish to thank Thee for such a beautiful plan. We thank Thee that You have called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. We thank Thee that You have invited us to be a member of Your divine family. And we do realize our responsibility that we must develop the love pleasing to Thee, and our desire is to develop a character in harmony with Your will. And we thank Thee for this opportunity of meeting together and sharing these precious truths with the brethren. We ask Your blessing upon the words which have been considered, and please overrule anything done or said amiss. We do continue to pray Your blessing upon the general interest of the harvest work, and particularly the share which we are privileged to enjoy in that work, and the dear co-laborers everywhere. We also continue to remember the groaning creation, and to this end we continue to pray for Thy incoming kingdom. In Jesus' name we thank Thee and ask these favors. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take a little 30-minute break and reconvene at
3:30.
Thank you. Thank you very much. 3:30.